This week, our castaway is the broadcaster, Brian Johnston. Brian, you've been about the world quite a lot, mostly at the BBC's expense. Where would you like this island to be?
I think somewhere off the coast of Australia, possibly near Sydney somewhere, as near as I'm allowed to go, so that I might hear the roar of the crowd on the hill when there's a test match there.
Not as close as that.
Oh, dear.
What would you be happiest to have got away from?
Do you know, I don't think I can name anything. I'm rather fond of civilization, bad as people say it is. I can't think of anything.
Are you a musical person?
Not very. I like sort of straight music, like sort of Ivan Novello stuff, you know. And I do play the piano. I play Underneath the Arches.
Really?
That's all. Very well, too.
What key?
I think it's four flats. Are the four flats and the piano? Yeah, thanks a lot.
Do you play discs a lot?
Yes, I sit and listen sometimes in the, as background, you know.
Mm-hmm. How did you set about choosing your eight? Is this a nostalgic choice or great performances or what?
I try to sort of match it up a bit with my life, you know, and also to bring in people who I particularly liked, who I've met in my life, who also perform. So I've combined the two.
What's the first one?
Can I go back to my school days at Eton when I was a member of the Eton College Musical Society, and they came along and recorded us all singing the Eton boating song, you know, We'll Swing Together. I'd love to hear that.
College Musical Society and Brian Johnston. What's your second disc?
Well, in the 30s, I used to play non-stop either Carol Gibbons, Charlie Coons, or Hutch, Leslie A. Hutchinson. I'd love something by Hutch, and I think if I could, I'd love All the Things You Are, which incidentally is my wife Pauline's favourite song, so let's combine the two, if we may.
And you met Pauline at the BBC, didn't you?
Yes, she was in the photographic department, and I rang her one day and proposed within a week. It wasn't bad going.
Not bad going at all. Well, it's a splendid idea to play her favourite tune.
Oh, the promised kiss of springtime that makes the lonely winter seem long. Oh, the breathless hush of evening that trembles on the brink of a loveless heart.
Hutch singing All the Things You Are. Now, after Eton, you went up to New College, Oxford. What did you read?
I read history and a bit of P.G. Woodhouse, mostly the Woodhouse.
History with a view to what?
Nothing, I'm ashamed to say. You know, I just didn't know what I was going to do. And in the end, in fact, I ended up going into the family business, which was selling coffee.
Where? In London?
Well, we had an office in London, but in fact, we exported it from Brazil. You know, and I had to go there, in fact, and try and learn about it, but I didn't like it much.
Commerce didn't interest you. What did?
At that time, cricket, of course, always, and the theatre, and especially music hall. Every week I used to go either to Holborn Empire, London Palladium. I'm mad on the music hall.
Did you envisage at that time becoming an actor or director? Or...
Yeah, well, you know, I've always been a sort of sucker for the stage. The only part I've ever played, in fact, was The Silly Ass and The Ghost Train. But, yes, I went to a fortune teller who said, yes, you ought to be an actor, you're going to be well-known one day. And she made me sign a special book and said you'll be not famous, but well-known. But I hadn't got the guts to give up my job and go on the stage, I'm afraid.
Well, now, the war was coming along, and before it started, you volunteered for the Grenadier Guards.
Yes, so we thought we'd better get into the top regiment if we were going to have to fight, you know.
Yes, and you became technical adjutant in a tank battalion. You served in the invasion of 1944 and the crossing of the Rhine and collected an MC. When things quieted down, you did some army shows.
Yes, we did a lot in our battalion, and then in the Guards Armour Division, we did a big review called The Eyes Have It. And again, I got bitten by this bug. I must perform, you know, and I used to go on. I was the sort of compere and crack jigs and stuff.
And when you put aside your uniform, what happened?
Well, I've been very lucky because in the war, when we were in a wood in Thetford, before going across to France, a couple came to have supper with us one day, and they were Stuart McPherson and Winston Vaughan Thomas. They'd come to learn to be war correspondents with a neighbouring battalion, and I happened to meet them there and like them, and I happened to meet them again after the war. I was so lucky.
Yes.
And Stuart said, oh, we're a bit short of people at the BBC, why not do a test? And I did a test. I went and asked people about what they thought of the butter ration in Oxford Street, I remember. And if you ask silly questions, you get silly answers. But they did say you can keep going. At any rate, they didn't think it was very good, but they said at least you didn't sort of dry up.
Mm-hmm. So, in you came to the BBC?
Yes, for 3 months. I said, I'll come for 3 months.
At that point, I think we'll break off for record number three. What's that to be?
Can I have my war song, which was We'll Gather Lilacs? I heard Ivan Novello played in an orchard once in Normandy, remember there? And I think it's a marvellous one. I'd like it sung, if possible, by a man and a woman. I think it was thrown away in the play of A Chance to Dream.
What about Vanessa Lee and Bruce Trent?
Suit me fine.
We'll gather lilacs in the spring again and walk together down an English lane.
Ivan Novello's We'll Gather Lilacs, Vanessa Lee and Bruce Trent. So, you joined the BBC, Brian. You were in outside broadcast.
Yes, I joined them, really, as a sort of dog's body. You know, I did anything. Cricket didn't come along till later. In fact, my very first broadcaster, if you'd like to know, came from the ladies' lavatory in St. James's Park, because they were blowing up the bomb there, and they drained the lake, and I was sent down with Lobby, who was my boss then, S.J. de Lavinia, and they said, describe the blowing up of the bomb. And I was going to do it from a bridge, and the policeman said, oh, you must, too dangerous, you must go inside there. And standing up on the seat and looking through the slotted windows, I was able to do the commentary. I always say I came out looking a little bit flushed. And I wasn't very popular at the end of the broadcast. I said, that's the end of this one. Next week we'll bring you bigger and better bombs. And that was thought to be a little bit exaggerating, you know.
Very good sign-off. And you used to do the theatre relay, something that doesn't happen nowadays.
Yes, we went to hundreds of theatres and did that. Those were great fun to do. And of course one met all the nice people in the theatre. That was a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just too lucky for words.
And there was an adventurous and hazardous series you did for years, Let's Go Somewhere.
Yes, I did 150 of those. They were live every Saturday night, so every Saturday night was the first night. Some were complete flops, some were funny, some
yes.
weren't too bad, you know.
You were sawn in half by an illusionist.
Yes, that was rather frightening, funnily enough, because you suddenly felt the blade come through the other side of you. I mustn't give away how it's done, but yes, I was sawn in half.
But you kept talking.
Yeah, I kept talking while the saw was going through me.
And you stayed a night in the Chamber of Horrors.
Yes, I stayed up to midnight. I wasn't allowed to go on after that, but in Town Tonight I did it. I was there for about 20 minutes before they came over to me. It was really rather frightening because all the figures are made of wax and they sway from time to time because underneath goes the Bakerloo line going, ooh, and it was rather frightening. I was jolly glad to get out of that. I haven't been there since.
There was a splendid idea. You shut yourself in a pillar box.
Yes, that was maybe at Christmas time. They want us to say how the postage should go on Christmas cards, and I was in there, and I described the letters that came dropping through, and I finished the broadcast. I heard a pattering of feet outside, and someone was coming up the box. I put my hand out and took the letter from the person, my hand coming through, and I heard a scream from outside, and this woman had nearly fainted, you know. You would if you saw a hand coming out. That was rather sensational.
There was another occasion on which you stopped the traffic in Piccadilly.
Yes, this was merely to see whether the agony columns work. You know, meet me under the clock of Victoria. We put in a thing on Friday night, well set up young gentleman, which was me, invites young ladies seeking adventure, meeting on the steps of the Criterion restaurant in Lower Regent Street, Saturday 7:15. And we went down there, expecting nobody, and the whole street was jammed. There were police with arms locked, holding the crowd back, and of course the thing was complete and utter chaos. And the next day we got leader headlines in all the papers, BBC, Stampede, because of this stupid stunt.
And you never found your girl?
And there were a lot of girls there, but some weren't so good looking.
Ceremonial occasions, of course, dozens of them. Royal weddings?
Yes, funerals as well. They're rarely my cup of tea because I'm perhaps a more light broadcaster. And I thought when I was doing one of the funerals, I'd better make absolutely sure to get things right. This was King George the VI funeral. I wrote out my opening thing saying, here comes the procession now led by 5 metropolitan police and mounted on white horses. And to my horror, when they came into view, they weren't white horses and I blacked absolutely out. And this was on television. Mm. And I said, mounted on horseback, rather loosely. And my producer in the headphones said, what do you think they're mounted on, camels? This wasn't a very good start to a serious programme.
Let's have record number 4. Where do we go now?
Can I have one of the people I've enjoyed meeting so much on the stage, Cicely Courtney, who's a great friend of mine. She's a marvellous person. And remember that thing where she goes in and tries to buy some dinner napkins?
Oh, double dammers.
That's
yes.
right.
We can't do all of it.
All right, I tell you what, when the chap has given up, the assistant, and he calls in the manager, can we go on from there?
Allow me to help you, madam. You require...
I require 2 dozen double-dunnest dinner napkins.
I beg pardon, madam.
Oh, heavens, Count, you understand?
Would you mind repeating your order, madam?
I want 2 dozen.
Two dozen.
I said 2 dozen.
Oh, no, madam. No, you said 2 dozen. But I understand perfectly what you mean. You mean 2 dozen. In other words, a double dozen.
That's it. A double dozen, a double dozen dinner napkin.
Oh, no, pardon me, madam. Pardon me. Oh, I may say so. We're getting a little bit confused. Splitting it up, as it were. Now, the full order. The full order is 2 dozen double dummers and nipper dumpkin.
Excuse me, sir. You mean 2 dumb and dammel dimmick dizzy napkins?
I do not want dizzy napkins. I want 2 dizzle dammel dummers.
No, 2 dizzle dammel dizzy.
2 dazzle dammel dummick.
2 damn dizzy dizzle dimmer dipkins.
Madam, madam, please, please, your language.
Oh, blast. Give me 24 serviettes.
Cecily Courtnage in the sketch Double Damask. Now, Brian, the job that you truly made all your own in the BBC, commentating on cricket. What's your own record as a cricketer? You played for your college.
I kept in my college. And I was an ordinary club cricketer, and when I joined the BBC, I had a lot of opportunity on Sundays. We used to play charity matches, and I kept wicket to all the great bowlers, you know, Lindell, Miller, and Bedser, and Truman, and so on.
You're quite unmarked.
Oh, yes, look at my fingers, unbroken. I must say, I'll tell you how I gave it up, though. I was keeping wicket one day to Richie Benno, and he bowled a leg break to number 11 batsman, who went down the pitch, missed it. And with all my old speed, so I thought I whipped off the bales and said, how's that? And the umpire said, oh, this is marvellous, Stump Johnson bowled Benno. And the chap came up to me and said, jolly well, Stump, I said, thanks very much. He said, I'd also like to congratulate you on the sporting way you tried to give him time to get back. And so I realised, hang up the gloves, you know.
Yes.
So I've given it up.
You commentated for television and sound. Rather confusing with two such different techniques, wasn't it?
Yes, it is. You mustn't talk too much on television, and of course radio, you have to keep going the whole time and paint the picture with words, which is where I think John Arlott's so marvellous. He really conjures up, doesn't he, sort of the smell of grass.
Yes. Now, cricket has shifted you around the world. How many times have you been to Australia?
I've been 5 times to Australia and 4 times to South Africa, New Zealand, West Indies, Pakistan. Yes. Never been to India, I'm afraid.
And the best game of cricket you ever commentated?
I think the most exciting one was the Test match 1963 at Lord's, when Colin Cowdrey had to come in, 1 wicket to 4, and we needed 6 runs to win. He had his left arm in a plaster, you know, and we just drew the match. Marvellous game, that. Right through it was.
Any other anxious moments you remember?
Anxious moments? Well, no, I've been famous for a lot of gaffes. Some of them I mustn't repeat, even on your programme, Rod.
Right, on to record number 5.
Can I have one of my other great favourites, Bud Flanagan, a tremendous chap. He sang Strolling quite beautifully.
Just strolling in the cool of the evening air. I don't envy the rich in that automobile, for a motor car is phony. I'd rather have Shanks's pony when I'm strolling.
Bud Flanagan. You've done other sports, of course, Brian. Monte Carlo Rally. Even a bit of the University Boat Race.
Yes, I stand on Chiswick Bridge every now and again and say they're coming around the last bend, and I allow it to about 40 seconds before I pass back to John Snow.
And other activities, panel shows, a lot of panel shows.
Yes, I have, really. I even used to take part in 20 Questions when Richard wasn't there. So I've been a great stand-in for people, you know.
And now, of course, you are a freelance.
I am a freelance. I've left the BBC for about 15 months or so.
And you do Down Your Way every week. You took over from Jingle.
It's a marvellous programme to do. Do you know, one goes around the country. It's amazing how nice everybody is. And the great thing is we're always told what a selfish society we are, and we live for ourselves. It's amazing the number of people one meets who do good for other people. I think it's great. I really enjoy doing it.
And what else are you up to? You've just written a book.
I've written a book, yes, it's just been published, called It's Been a Lot of Fun, and I rather hope, you know, other people think so too, because this has been my life. It has been a lot of fun for me.
Well, let's hope it continues to be for a long, long time, and in the meantime, record number 6.
A little bit more serious, in case I'm feeling sentimental on that desert island. I'd love something by a British composer, and who better than Elgar, perhaps Nimrod from his Enigma Variations.
Nimrod from Elgar's Enigma Variations, Sir Malcolm Sargent conducting the Philharmonia Orchestra. How are you going to manage on this island? Do you think you'd be pretty efficient as a castaway?
I think I'd be very inefficient. I'm quite hopeless with my hands. I can't do anything from, like, fuses or knocking in nails. I'm very good at making scrambled eggs. If there were any birds, I could... I'd have to get some butter, I suppose, or something, but I could scramble eggs. I learned that when I was a fag at Eton.
What about escaping? Any good at small boats?
No. Terrified, really. I like bathing and lying on a beach. I don't like going on the sea. No, I'd stick there, absolutely.
Record number 7.
All through one's life, one's had little mini classics of my type of music, like Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, or These Foolish Things, Moon River, or Raindrops Falling on My Head. And I think the modern one of those is Tie Yellow Ribbon. So can I hear a bit of that?
Well, tie yellow ribbon round the old
Yellow Ribbon, sung and played by Dawn. And now we come to your last disc. What's that?
Well, it'd be rather nice sitting on the island to hear the voice of someone in my family. And luckily, I've got a son called, he has to call himself Barry Alexander because of Barry Johnson already in Equity. He's in this group called Design, and it'd be nice to hear his voice. He's one of my 5 children. I've got some other ones, but he's the one who sort of is in the public eye. And he's just had a single, Design, in which a number he sings and composed is on it. It's called The End of the Party. Quite an appropriate little title, I suppose.
Has it gone to this? Is the party over? Do you really have to go? Can you stay an hour or two? Give me one more chance. There must be an answer. Would you like another dance?
Barry Alexander and Design. If you could take just one of your 8 discs, which would it be?
I think it's got to be Laughter. I think I'd take Sis with me with Double Damask and have a good laugh sometimes, anyhow.
And one luxury to take with you?
I think I'd try and take an automatic bowling machine. It'd have to be worked by clockwork, so like a bat with an old bit of wood, and we could bowl coconuts through this machine. There are machines like this, and I could have a bit of practice.
Yes. We'll get you some cricket balls. You
oh, well,
that's worry with
right.
Coconuts.
Marvellous.
And one book, apart from the Bible, Shakespeare, and big encyclopedias?
One I keep by my bedside called Funny Way to Be a Carer by John Fisher. It's an anthology of music halls, and it's got the life stories and comedy routines of everybody, like Billy Bennett, Jimmy James, Max Miller, Flanagan and Allen, the lot. And I could learn all their routines and make myself laugh, even if I didn't make the birds laugh.
Funny Way to Be a Hero by John Fisher.
Yes, it's right. A lovely book.
And thank you, Brian Johnston, for letting us hear your Desert Island Discs.
Thank you very much, Roy. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.